Chapter 2. A Terrible Return. Caliban 011.M31. Zahariel ran. He never reached the surface. Around him, the tunnel twisted and buckled like an unbroken destrier, throwing him from his feet. The walls shuddered. Stone and ferrocrete shucked away like a dead skin, revealing something fleshy and pulsating beneath. Crystalline deposits formed out of widening cracks like rapidly freezing ice. They glowed into cerulean life, bathing the scene with blue-purple shadows as the librarian's surroundings continued to bend and move. Something crashed against the side of his head. Out of reflex, he threw up an arm, a golden shield of energy warding away the next block of masonry. The gigantic stone settled, cocooning him in debris. Blood trickled down his cheek and neck. Dazed, he fought against the sudden desire to rest, a fight he lost, falling into semi-consciousness. He heard scratching. At first, he thought it was rocks settling, but then Zahariel heard the susurrant murmur of leaves. It was the branches in the forest, rubbing, bristling, the conversation of trees. He had learned to listen to the forest as he had learned the tongue of his mother and father. Tonight it was quiet. Tonight the souls of the trees slept, appeased. He remembered the hunt, tall warriors striding out in their mail coats, las lancers charged and arcubines primed. Only half came back, but the great beast that had ravaged Densenor and Vorden was slain too, and now the forest could sleep again. He could hear Nemiel snoring in the other cot. A wander sage had come to the village 2 days before, and Nemiel had listened to his tales all day and night, hiding when the word went out to bring him home. He had been banished to this small room and forbidden from watching the hunt set out, but Zahariel had helped him sneak from his prison for a short while. The wander sage had told stories of Clemar Feg, the wizard of the caverns, and Nemiel had suggested that he and Zahariel go out and look for the fabled golden cave. Zahariel knew the stories almost as well as the wander sage. He had heard them so often. They resonated, tales of the strange powers of the forest, of the call into the deeps that the gifted would hearken to. The tale of Steichen, the Hoarfrost warrior, who had been blessed with the ice words. The tale of Sar Farvon and the gasping toad, rescued from certain death by a mystical savior. And the dark tales, the ones that made Zahariel shiver to recollect, yet intrigued him the most. They were meant to be warnings of what happened to disobedient boys and girls, the ones that went too far into the forest or delved too deep into the caves. He wanted to explore, to go to the hidden groves, to seek out the Twilight Men in their subterranean realm, because they were the ones that knew the origins of the stories, knowledge from the time before the forest, before the village, before the coming of the Order, before the ascent of the Lion, before the arrival of the Legion. Zahariel came to his senses, not sure for a moment where he was, bathed in the azure glow of crystal deposits. He could feel the pressure of thousands of tons of collapsed arcology balanced precariously over him. More than just his psychic shield must have saved him. Fortune, then? That seemed unlikely. The dream of the old tales, stories he had not thought of for decades, had to have deeper meaning. A memory suppressed by his librarius training now allowed to rise again. A reminder that there had once been other powers in the dark places beneath the world. Had they ever left? A scraping caused Zahariel to turn as he rose to one knee. The shifting stones had formed a sort of corridor, a crack in the debris leading roughly north. A few meters away stood a dead woman. It was clear she was dead because her head flopped upon her shoulder, eyes half closed. There was also the blood staining her blue tunic and grey trousers. A normal human could not lose that much blood and live. The ground trembled again as Zahariel tried to get to his feet. The walking corpse swayed like a reed, sustained by the force that rippled out from the depths of the ruined arcology. There were other figures behind her. Men and women, a few children, all were equally dead, workers in unirobes and coveralls. Some had mining gear. What had become of the people from the abandoned excavation above suddenly became clear. More emerged from the shadows, nearly 36. Standing, Zahariel pulled free his pistol. He had 12 bolts in the magazine and a spare at his belt, but he did not need physical ammunition. Holding up his other hand, he allowed his mind to pierce the invisible dam that kept the terrible energies of the warp at bay. Immediately, his thoughts swirled with power. Zahariel's splayed fingers crackled with purple lightning, tiny sparks leaping from fingertip to fingertip, his nails gleaming like light filaments. The ground ceased its movements, and the walking corpses withdrew, fading from view into the bluish gloom. Zahariel's perfect vision scoured the darkness for the other signs he had been expecting. Worms. The deadly worms that had assaulted him and the other Dark Angels, the time that they had driven the Ouroboros from these caverns. There was no sign of the beasts, not the giant queens, nor the workers or soldiers. There was also no indication that the sorcerers that had brought forth the Ouroboros had survived. Zahariel had seen no evidence of their presence in the settlement above. Both he and Lord Cypher had mentioned the threat and had taken pains to seek out anything that might betray the presence of more Terran warp wielders. There was nothing. Zahariel's psychic sense picked up no manipulation of the warp in the vicinity. He detected something else, though. It wasn't a psychic effect, not as such. It was hard to pinpoint, more akin to an atmospheric condition, a psychic wind, he might have said to the non-gifted. It was more than a wind. It was a void, an emptiness, an absence of psychic power. It was growing stronger. The lightning in Zahariel's hand gutted into sparks and then died as a great barrier pressed in around him, squeezing out the psychic energy he had tapped into. He tried again, releasing his thoughts from the flesh, but they rebounded painfully back into his skull, forcing him to the ground with a cry. He held his hands to his temples as the inward pressure increased. His heart beat faster, a response to danger that others might mistake for fear. It was, in a space marine, simply a physical reaction tied to no psychological baggage. His body was merely ready to fight, his mind racing. No, Zahariel was lying to himself. It was fear that sped his pulse. The blackness of the anti-warp around him isolated the librarian from all sensation, making him feel utterly alone. He could not probe its depths, its mass so huge, so intangible, that it was beyond measure, a thing beyond mortal comprehension, even that of a librarian. He did not know what was happening. Nothing in his training had prepared him for this sensation of helplessness and isolation. He swallowed hard as the revelation came to him. The psychic null was not an effect of the Ouroboros. It was the Ouroboros. Its incorporeal body coiled and twined through the heart of Caliban, both leeching and leaking psychic energy into and from the warp and material universe. More than that, it was all around Zahariel. He would not see the worms, could not. They were a physical manifestation of the Ouroboros, the bubbles on the surface of the water that told of the predatory presence in the depths below. Zahariel looked again at the gouges and cracks in the ferrocrete around him, taking in the pulsing mass behind the tiles and masonry, and no Legion training could prevent the cold chill of realization. There was a reason he could not see the Ouroboros. He was not on the surface, but in the depths. He was within the gut of the Conqueror Worm. He was inside the warp beast. The light of the crystals faded and darkness reigned. Zahariel fell.